It's Sunday, August 15th, and I'm here at the University of Notre Dame with Father Bob Pelton, a Holy Cross father who's done some outstanding work with the Kellogg Institute for International Studies. And today we are interviewing him on a new movie that's coming out called Romeo. And it should be an outstanding movie and very inspirational to a lot of people. But Bob will tell us why, and he'll tell us how this movie got going and all of the ins and outs that constituted it. So, Bob, I turn it over to you, and you are on.
Thank you very much, Dean. It's very good to be with you again. First of all, the year 2010 is the 30th anniversary of the assassination of Oscar Romero. And so this took on special significance, especially because of the fact that over these 30 years, Romero, in fact, has gone way beyond El Salvador. He's transcendent in his own country. He's a really an international figure now. When you go to the Anglican Cathedral in London, you'll see the two central figures. They're in mosaics right in front of their cathedral are Martin Luther King and Oscar Romero, along with others considered contemporary martyrs by that particular church. At the same time, our film is basically what it is. It's the final journey of Oscar Romero, the last 3 years of his life, and it's when he was the Archbishop of San Salvador, and at the same time, keeping in mind that there is a pretty interesting parallel between the last 3 years of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and Oscar Romero, 3 years. And I think that our film, which is called Monseñor, is it's an effort to probe the contemporary significance of Romero. What does Romero mean? Not what did he mean, but what does he mean right now in the world as we're experiencing it? It's the first film that has put the campesinos, the peasants, as the central actors within this whole production. In other words, it's not a Hollywood production. Rather, it is a production that's coming from the grassroots, and you're dealing face-to-face with campesinos who had fought on both sides, both with the forces of the government and with the resistance. Another thing I think is important, as I mentioned just a moment ago, is Romero's no longer El Salvador. Romero is of the world. I think it's also important to keep in mind that as we worked on this film for 4 years with innumerable struggles to take it step by step, is the fact that what we needed to do is to obtain the permission to listen to film his homilies, his diary, to hear his own voice, to see him, to see the campesinos, people who finally picked up arms themselves, and to hear their story. These were people who were committed Christians from small base communities. And it wasn't that they wanted war, they were caught within a war. I think it's also very significant because it really points out Romero's own story. And Romero, basically modest, bright, articulate individual who totally committed himself to living out the gospel, and to, at the same time as he endeavored to live out the gospel, to be continually aware, too, of the teachings of the church, for example, of the major meetings of Latin America, of Puebla from 1979 in Mexico, and of course, Medellin earlier in 1968 in Medellin, Colombia. These became, along with his Bible, what were the inspirations of his life. And when you visit the modest rooms and so forth where he dwelled, he had a cancer hospital. He had a picture of Paul VI right on, next to his bed, and he also had the Bible, and he had Evangelii Nuntiandi, the great document on evangelization of Paul VI. Maybe his greatest, I don't know, I've always been inspired by it. But I think that it's clear, at least to me, that Romero was one who really took the gospel very seriously. He wasn't just picking up on what were trends at that moment, but rather he was going deeply into the gospel message. He lived it out, and he died for that message. And I think
what would be some examples of that, living it out?
I would say the examples for me, one very good example would be that when he'd begin to prepare his Sunday homily, he'd begin the Monday before. And then he'd be going through the scriptural text and so forth. He had a group of young lay people, young professionals, who would sit with him as he went through this. And a number of them were lawyers, because he said, I want to be very careful that I do not say anything that contradicts the law of the country. But at the same time, I want to interpret what the gospel says for that particular Sunday in relationship with what our reality is at this moment in our country. And he did that, and he spoke out clearly. I think that would be an example. And the friendships that he developed with these young lay people, I think, were significant. Young, very competent professionals. And at the same time, they would tell him, you know, if he was getting into perhaps difficulty in terms of what could be interpreted as being against the law. The only time he really knowingly, clear, in a clear way, the day before his death, when he did break the law, and he knew he was breaking at least the civil law, when he told the soldiers, put your arms down, you don't have to kill your brothers or sisters, keep in mind that there's a teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is more important than a particular civil law or a particular civil reality. And of course, that got him in trouble. And the planning for his death had gone on long before that, but this was the thing that just, that was the thing that opened the door for those who were to assassinate him. And that had been prepared for. At the same time, the war had been prepared for. Some people say that Oscar Romero, his death, and so forth, that brought about the war. The fact is, the war was already in preparation, were in progress to have a civil war, which he was clearly against. So I think that's a point that's very important to be made. And so that at the same time, he becomes an inspiration for pastoral leaders in the sense of his honesty, his straightforwardness, and I think that one of the positive results that has occurred from this is the fact that this year, 2010, the civil government of El Salvador, its president, Funes, is left of center politically. But he's the first one who's been left of center, elected since the 1992 brokered UN peace agreement in El Salvador, saying that I want my presidency to model a concern for the poor that Romero showed during his lifetime. At the same time, it was determined by the Congress of El Salvador, with the backing of the official Catholic Church, that the 24th of March would be a day set aside as the Oscar Romero Day, like we have Martin Luther King Day in the United States. So there is a growing significance, a growing appreciation, and I'd say just like the life of Romero, every step implied a challenge on the one hand. On the other hand, our four-year journey in getting this film out of its 90 minutes, and we hope to have it also ready for public television and other outlets. At the same time, it's been a struggle all the way through. And Romero's life was a struggle all the way through. The Christian life, taken seriously, is a struggle all the way through. So that's the way we go. We pick up the cross and walk with it. And because it's a model of my own congregation of Holy Cross, Crux Pes Unica, Latin for the cross is the only hope. You have to pick it up, walk with it, be courageous. And certainly Romero was a marvelous example for us and for me personally. And so it's been a spiritual journey for me also to be involved in this process of preparing this documentary.
Now he's up for sainthood, right?
Yes. His process is now in Rome. And at the same time, it therefore went through all the diocesan steps that are required for that, and both the present Holy Father Benedict and his predecessor John Paul II have publicly referred to Romero as a martyr. And as a matter of fact, we do plan here at Notre Dame in March 2011. To have as our special guest Peter Turkson, the new head of Justice and Peace, a young Ghanaian West African cardinal, who's going to speak on Romero and his commitment to the social magisterium, therefore the gospel and the teachings of the church. It's an example, I think, of leadership that we need, I believe, both for our church as we walk forward and for our civil leadership, to have the courage to take stands and to have those stands be carefully prepared and to be willing to suffer.
He
hold those.
He really went out to the poor, didn't he?
Well, he walked with the poor. One of the great things about him, and one of the things you'll see in the film, is you see him literally walking with the poor with his... He'd be out there where it's all dusty and all that sort of thing. He'd have that white cassock on and his bishop's cross, and people walking along with the children and with the folks, and get all muddy and have to go back and wash that cassock and so forth. He walked with the poor. He was not an office bishop. He was a pastoral on the street bishop, but when he studied something or when he prayed something over, he did it. He did it seriously. He wasn't superficial about anything he did. He was not a radical, except in following the gospel.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and my pleasure.
Wish your movie the greatest of success, and I'm waiting to see it myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be in both Spanish and English.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, Father G., thank you.